And it's time for our daily, Monday through Friday, third hour update on the coronavirus pandemic, now formally anointed by the World Health Organization. I wonder what took them so long, really. Just had an interesting email from one of our listeners up in the Washington State area. He said, please let your guest know that here in Washington State, we have 373 confirmed cases and only one listed as recovered. This sickness just goes on and on. Think about that, dear friends. 373 confirmed, we know it's way higher than that, and only one recovered patient. And we're going to find out from Henry in just a moment what he thought about Trump's abysmal performance tonight. But I'm just constantly thinking about these CDC employees sent to the major airports to scan visually incoming passengers. And if they're working at any of the major airports, they're going to get incoming passengers still from Europe. The ban on European travel doesn't begin until Friday night. But more than that, Trump, for some reason, failed to mention stopping incoming traffic from Asia through the West Coast. Henry, welcome back. How are you?
Well, it's good to be back, and it's quite a remarkable evening and day, I guess. I said yesterday that it's silly to call it an epidemic. It's a pandemic, and WHO is just dragging their feet on that. So they finally came around today and called it a pandemic, and the stock market didn't like that, and the second biggest point drop in history. And apparently, calling it a pandemic didn't do much good in the U.S. because obviously Trump and his speechwriters don't really know what the definition of a pandemic is. so they went ahead and wrote a speech that kind of thought, well, pandemic says it's worldwide, it's everywhere. And they think that after it's everywhere, they're going to close the door and it's not going to come in. And it's
ludicrous.
Some people are so dumb they don't know how dumb they are, and they just open up their mouth to make it clear to the world. And I mean that the idea that they're going to go ahead and do all of Europe on top of it, but not the UK. Internally, just every aspect of this doesn't make any sense with regard to infectious diseases and controlling the infectious disease. I mean, he should be focused on what we should be doing here, because that's where the virus is, and not what's going on over in Europe, because that's already here. I mean, I mentioned this earlier, and actually, I realized it was more than a couple of weeks ago. This was on the anniversary of the checking into the Metropole Hotel. So this was back on March 21st. And March 21st. February 21st. And so that is closer to 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And it was kind of, that was the tipping point. Because back then, it was already clear that there was a problem in Italy, and there was a problem in Iran. And that they both had viruses that were quite deadly and quite transmissible. And they were, Iran was spreading it throughout the Middle East, and Italy was spreading it throughout Europe. And it was obvious that when the cases started showing up in Algeria, in Africa, and Nigeria in Africa, and Brazil in South America, and Mexico, and Canada, that they were all getting imports from either Iran or Italy.
Yeah.
The fact that the U.S. wasn't getting any from Italy wasn't because Italians weren't coming here. It wasn't because Americans didn't go to Italy and get the virus and bring it back here. It was simply that they weren't testing them. They were just testing those from China. So the virus doesn't care whether the U.S. is looking or not. You know, they're on the plane, they're coming over. And it doesn't matter if you are going to test the person that brings the virus or not. The virus is going to get here. And since you're not testing the person, the virus is going to spread. And it's all over the U.S. And once they started testing on the East Coast, they found that everybody's got the virus. The cases went from zero to double digits almost overnight.
Right.
And it wasn't the virus just arrived last week. It's that they just started testing last week. And so the virus is already here, going and closing down all of Europe, some of which, you know, don't really have that many cases, and allowing the UK to come. If they had anybody that kind of looked at the viruses, and of course, they have people that look at them, but they obviously don't, the message doesn't get through to the executive branch. But the viruses that are in England came from Italy. Actually, they don't even have to look at the virus. They just have to look at where the people came from. And frankly, if they look at where the people came from, that would tell them a lot. And to give you an example, I took a look at Alberta, Canada, okay? They had five new cases today. Uh-huh. And I was kind of curious because the first case in Alberta came from the Grand Princess. And the Grand Princess, the first leg, sequences are already published, released from that.
And first trip.
The first trip. And the first trip had the Seattle virus.
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle virus has got mutations that were only found in Seattle. And so they've got a stamp on the virus. It says made in the USA. That if you get that virus, it came from Seattle, and it came from Seattle because it has mutations that appeared after it came to Seattle. So it didn't have these mutations when it came to Seattle.
Right.
It acquired these mutations in Seattle, and this combination was only found in Seattle. And then somebody from Seattle, or actually several people from Seattle, got on that cruise in San Francisco. And then they spread it throughout the passengers on that cruise. And then when they came back, they said, bon voyage, go home. And they were off and running all over America, all over Canada, all over Britain. They went to the UK. I mean, those were the first ones. Oh, we got arrangements made. We're going to be shipping all the ones from England back to England.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of like, you can come on back. There's no ban on coming back from England. We've already sent the virus over there. You can send it back over here. And it really doesn't matter. Because when I went to Alberta, just to give you an idea, mm-hmm. they said, we got five new cases, and they're all imports. And so the question is, where were they imported from?
From where? Yeah, yeah.
And they got one from the United States. They got one from Mexico. They got one from Iran. They got one from Egypt. And they got one from Spain. So Trump put his ban on, and he got one out of five. One out of five that just came to Alberta is covered by his ban. He doesn't cover the ones in the United States, doesn't cover
this
the ones in Mexico, doesn't cover
amazing.
The ones in Iran. Well, I guess he does. He did do one for Iran. He doesn't cover the ones in Egypt. And Egypt has been starting large clusters in multiple states. Uh-huh. Egypt was responsible for the outbreaks in Texas. Texas is in double digits now. They were responsible, I think, for South Dakota. I think they were responsible for Maryland. They were responsible for Iowa. It might not have been South Dakota. It was Iowa. And this wasn't one or two people. These were all tour groups that had taken a trip on the Nile. They figured they would avoid Europe and they would avoid Asia. And they went down to Africa and it didn't matter. I mean, Egypt said, we only have three cases, which was not true. And
oh, they lied.
The crews on the cruise ships were infected and they infected all the passengers and they all came back to the U.S. in bunches. So there, it wasn't that they had
clusters.
One or two. They had three, four, five, six, right. They had clusters of cases that were all imported. They all came from Egyptian cruises. And then the other thing, you don't have to read the sequences of the virus to know what's going on. If you look at the cases in the U.S. now, they're going to say, well, this isn't a local case. I mean, Pennsylvania has it. You know, it's in eastern Pennsylvania. They're up to 16 cases already. Just started on Friday. So between Friday and today, they're up to 16. And they say, well, out of those 16, we only have one local transmission. These are all imported cases.
Mm-hmm.
And where were they imported from? Out of state. They're not from Pennsylvania. They're like from New Jersey. They're from New York. But they actually don't even tell you what state. They just say another state. If it's another country, they go and they say foreign travel.
Yeah. You all can see where this is going.
If they do this, they say a state where there's transmission, but not Pennsylvania, but a state as in a United State, not a foreign state, a domestic state. And then you look at these lists and like Mississippi, they said they got their first case, not a local case. It's an import.
Mm-hmm.
Imported from Florida.
So, see, the virus is networking all over the country.
Right,
Every time
they go and they say it's a travel related case, they say, you know, it's like not in my backyard. Didn't happen here. It came from
imports.
Somewhere else.
Right.
And the imports are all over the United States. And so if it's exported from a state, that means it's local transmission. That means that it's already there. CDC didn't put these guys in quarantine. They don't know anything about them. They find out about them because they show up in another state. And the state says, where have you been? And the only reason they show up in the other state is because they can test them. Because they've come from a state that has known cases. So if you're in Mississippi, it's okay to test somebody from Florida because Florida's got cases. So we can test you because you came from Florida and there's a positive. Not in Mississippi. You didn't get it in Mississippi. You got it in Florida. It's not in our backyard. It's over in their backyard. It's over there. And you go down the list and all of these travel cases in the United States came from another United State. They're domestic.
Don't tell anyone, Henry. Be quiet now.
They're all over the United States, but we're going to go ahead and start on Friday putting up a travel ban on some of Europe.
it's so far too late. It's just this Keystone Cops, Three Stooges. Stooges might do better than the Trump administration.
And frankly, the cases that were announced on February 21st, those are cases that were infected several weeks earlier. They were at the end of January. So at the end of January, the virus is already floating around. You go and you find out about it 2 or 3 weeks after the case because they've got to go to where they were going to get the virus, and then they got to fly back to where it's going to end up, and then they have to go and develop some symptoms, and they have to decide, are they really going to go to the doctor? And then they have to go to the doctor, and then they got to convince the doctor that they should test them, and then they have to get tested, and then they have to get confirmation of the test results, and then they make the announcement. And so all the news that you read about is old news. It's two or three weeks old is when
correct.
This event happened.
Absolutely
and so,
correct.
And so this is back in January. The virus was floating around. And it's the same thing in Seattle. I mean, Seattle was the first case in the U.S. I mean, that was the first one identified. And now you've got this, you know, explosion in cases. And as your listener said, they've got over 300 cases there now. 300 confirmed cases. They've got a lot more than 300 cases. And so
and one
the idea
recovered.
After WHO announces a pandemic, which is, again, way after the fact. I mean, it was obvious it was a pandemic a month ago. So it takes them a month to say it's a pandemic, which means it's everywhere. They're going to say, well, we're going to stop it by picking an area and not allow anybody to come in for 30 days. You know, like that's going to make any difference because they've been coming in for 2 months now from that location.
It was one of the most pathetic performances I've ever seen an alleged president make. I mean it. Stupid doesn't come close. Just
yeah,
idiot.
And that's what the stock market thought. They were up 200 in after-hour trading when he started, and they were
Dow futures
down,
went down, yeah, dove another thousand.
Down a thousand. Yeah, they're down a thousand.
That's called thumbs down in the Roman arena.
And we got a shot tomorrow if it goes and opens a thousand down and goes a little bit lower. We will have the three largest point drops on record in the last 4 days. We had Monday, we set the record. Today, we came in second. We beat the old record. And then we got a good shot at beating that one tomorrow. So three out of the first 4 days of this week, we'll have the three worst point drops in Dow history.
Well, the plunge protection team was so beaten up, I think they just had to take a rest. They managed to pull it around yesterday, and then they're done.
Right.
This whole thing's going down, down.
Yeah. And then all the other announcements today that came out. I mean, A, it's a pandemic.
The NBA tonight. Watch what happens. Major League Baseball, pro football,
March Madness will be played to empty arenas. They've already made that decision. So
if one of the players shows positive, though, they may have to cancel March Madness.
Yeah, well,
like
they did
with the NBA.
Yeah.
One player in Utah. Goodbye.
Right. And then Tom Hanks announced that he's positive. Yeah. And you know what the reaction is? The reaction is, well, at least he got infected in Australia, so he could get tested.
That's right.
If he got infected here, he still wouldn't know it. Right. Because it would be a local infection.
All of you out there know, these are the criteria that the government has put forward that people can become tested by. If you don't meet the criteria, you cannot get tested. No matter how many times Donald and Mike have told us, if you want to get tested, you can get tested. Yeah. Lies. Bald-faced lies.
I mean, last week they had this big outbreak in Boston
you might update that. That's the Biogen conference. It's through the roof now.
Yeah, they're up to, they're 95 in Boston now. I think Boston's number three in the country now as far as cases are concerned. And I think the Biogen-related ones are up to 70-something. And that's just in Boston. That doesn't count all the other states that they flew off to and got identified in those other states or the other countries that went down to Argentina. I don't remember the other ones. I think they were in Europe and something like seven or eight states. And that's probably and counting. So that one I think did come from Italy. But it came from Italy, you know, last week when we were still trying to figure out who was coming from China after they had shut down the whole country and far fewer cases identified in China than the United States. So on a daily basis, you know, new cases.
There's many things to touch on here, but you did send me a note just before the program that a staffer in Senator Maria Cantwell's D.C. office is now positive.
Right.
It's only a matter of time before Ted Cruz or whomever turns up positive. He's just self-quarantined. I don't believe he's been tested yet. And God forbid the president ever be tested. Never going to happen.
And they made clear to mention it. She's from the state of Washington, but it was in her Washington, D.C. office where the staffer was confirmed. And you know, they're going to have dozens of staffers that all go out to lunch,
another thing,
go out for drinks afterwards together.
Yeah.
And so, this is going to spread among her staff as well as
other staffers,
other
staffers.
It's going to be all over Washington, D.C. And the ones most at risk are the senators who are 60 and over because of their age. Today was another one of these tipping points because it kind of became clear that, you know, the citizens and the state governments are going to take charge. And I mean, that's how it got started with the NBA. I mean, the Golden State basically said, well, we're going to go ahead and play anyway. So they played yesterday. And then San Francisco said no crowds of 1,000 or higher. So they basically indicated that they weren't going to be able to play either today or tomorrow with an audience. They were going to have to play in an empty stadium, and then player was positive, and
they got sick in warm-ups. Utah Jazz, I guess he got sick before the game, and they tested him. They tested him awfully quickly, didn't they? Interesting.
Yeah, they had like a half-hour delay or something, and well, it could be that he had, been submitted a sample ahead of time, and they got the results.
I don't know what happened. Here's another issue that we need to talk about, and that's and we've talked about this before. The virus is airborne. It's spread in the air. Micro droplets, whatever you want to call them, aerosolized particulates, the virus is airborne. You can inhale it. You can walk past somebody who's got it or who's just sneezed, even if they've exhaled and you're close enough to them. It hangs in the air. And I heard, did you hear the Italian doctors? I sent you the audio. Were you able to hear that, Henry? The two Italian physicians?
I didn't get to it, but I can imagine they probably made it.
It's worth it. Really awful to hear that. I got it up at the top of headlines for all of you listening, wherever you are. And we've got some people in Italy listening. And if any of you want to come on the program, just get word to me, and we'd be honored to have you on. They said, the doctors, one of them, I think it was the woman, the second one, she said that the virus lives outside the body. Well, we know it lives for about 9 days outside the body. But she said to kill the virus outside the body takes, and this reminded me of the book I wrote on HIV/AIDS. It takes 30 minutes of full contact with undiluted bleach to kill the coronavirus outside the body. That's what she said. Now, it was something like 15 or 20 minutes for HIV at a 90% bleach and water solution. 90% bleach, 10% water. It took that long to kill it, 15 or 20 minutes. So this is not a surprise to me that the virus is that durable outside the body. That doesn't mean you shouldn't use your hand sanitizers. Please do. But I would suggest at this point in time, if you really are concerned about getting this, and most of you sure as hell should be, it may be time to start wearing masks out when you go into any place where there are a number of people. markets, stores, shops, put the mask on. Put a note on the mask that said, I'm not infected, I just don't want to be, or whatever, because people might think that you're infected and start hurling curses at you, which has already happened. But just put a smiley face on there saying, not infected. But it's time. And with three, what was that? 300 and some cases in, I've got to find it. Here it is. Wait a minute. 373 confirmed cases in Washington State, yeah, and only one recovered patient.
Right.
Do you understand what that means?
I think they're up to 29 deaths, aren't they, or something like that. I had sent the
close to 30. It was 29 the last time I saw it, I do believe. So let's just say, yeah, 30 deaths, one recovered out of 373 confirmed. So there you go. You can compute your rate on the basis of that. It's, Henry was right in the beginning when he said this is going to end up being double digits, right?
Yeah. There's
no doubt.
And they're still denying that. I mean, I heard Anthony Fauci testifying under oath, and he says, uh-huh, you know, it's not as lethal as SARS. And that's just wrong.
How could he?
SARS was only done with pneumonia cases. So when they said that they had a case fatality rate of 10%, that was only the pneumonia cases. They weren't counting any that were lab confirmed and, you know, they had a cough or something along those lines. To be a SARS case, the case definition, right, was lab confirmed pneumonia. It wasn't enough to say, oh, sounds like he got pneumonia. We kind of listen to the lungs. No, they've got to have an X-ray or a CT scan that shows the pneumonia in the lung. And then that is a confirmed case. And then if it's a confirmed case and you've got the virus and you got pneumonia, you're going to the hospital. So when the case fatality rate is basically on hospitalized patients with pneumonia, and when they said 10%, that means that 10% of those that go in the hospital with pneumonia die, and 90% of those, you know, end up getting discharged. And that's what the case fatality rate's based on. And if you apply those same criteria to COVID or the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which they did initially pneumonia was listed as the criteria for a case. Mm-hmm. They looked at those initial cases and they were running at 15%. And that's, 15 higher than 10. Mm-hmm. And, so to say that it's not as deadly as SARS, there's zero data to support that.
It's a misstatement.
It's not a
misstatement either. It's a lie. Simple.
Right. I mean, they know what the numbers are. I mean, they know the definition changed. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, the definition was created in December, early January. They knew that the case fatality rate would be too high. So they went and said, well, you know, we're interested in where the virus is. And, you know, if you got the virus and you got a cough, that's a case. And they knew that people with a cough that didn't have pneumonia, that they weren't going to die, that all that was going to do is dilute the number down so that it'll get down to 1 or 2 or 3 or 4%. I mean, they have trouble getting it down even when they use that definition. They end up creeping up to 3 or 4%. And then that relative to the flu at 0.1%. And I mean, Anthony Fauci did come out and say that, you know, relative to flu, coronavirus, the SARS virus 2, coronavirus 2 is 10 times more lethal. So they kind of got rid of the flu comparisons,
but yeah.
Yeah. Well, he did that because he had, you know, part of the testimony. Well, you know, it's just kind of a flu. I mean, there's, you know, whatever number they're going to throw out. There were 8,000 deaths or there were 10,000 deaths or, you know, a bad year. There's 50,000 deaths from flu. And this is, you know, the only whatever, you know, 22 or 30,
here,
you know, 4,000 worldwide. Right. And yeah, the number keeps on going up. And,
check this
and
one.
If you get, here. Yeah, go on.
Case fatality rate in the U.S. at this time, according to the official stats, 38 dead, 15 total recoveries. Case fatality yeah. rate of 73%.
Yeah, but that'll catch up. I mean, it's not going to
be
that high.
It's going to
end up being around 15%.
But this, they're not talking about the length of infection with this virus. It can run weeks and weeks, apparently.
And if they discharge them too soon, they have recurrences. I mean, that happened with the ships that they you're negative on the PCR test, and you can go. You know, you're released. They went back to their country of origin, and all of a sudden, they're positive again and back in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And, it does linger, and it takes a very long time to get recovery and discharge. And
I hate to say this, but there is still talk about the potential of, people are suggesting there's permanent neurological and other types of damage, which happened with SARS, by the way. There were lingering after effects and damages.
And this virus could be even worse because it's got this polybasic cleavage site, so it can get into more cell types and go to other places in the body and take up residence. So it's even more dangerous than SARS was. So, I mean, it's more dangerous, it's more transmissible, and it's more lethal. These are guys that say, what's the problem? It's just, the old people got to worry. The young people are fine. And it's not. I mean, young people certainly do much better. But, I mean, the physician that basically blew the whistle.
Henry,
was in
this
early,
virus may.
In his early
this,
40s.
This virus may be infectious in people for 6 months. We don't know. Nobody's getting over it yet. It could last months.
They got data from China, but I mean, the problem is that historically with these pandemics for flu and the coronavirus, there's no reason to think it's going to be a whole lot different. That they typically come in waves, and the first wave is not the most intense. It's usually milder.
You've made that clear in the past. You were the first, and it's true.
And then when it comes by the next time in the fall, in this case, in all likelihood, it's not clear how much it's going to go down over the summer and how much it's going to change.
That's a conjectural point. That's right.
It's clear that the levels are high and the distribution is wide. Is probably not going to be like SARS, where it kind of came and went. That SARS, the international spread was, outside of Asia was pretty much linked to the Metropole Hotel. The vast majority of the cases that were outside of mainland China were the four or five regions that were directly seeded from the Metropole Hotel.
You remember, Henry, when we went, you were here. We covered all that. The Metropole Hotel.
Yeah.
That was 17 years ago.
I definitely remember. Believe me, that was...
ladies and gentlemen, that's how long Henry and I have been working on these things together. And I do want to take just a moment to acknowledge and to honor Dr. Patricia Doyle. And I have done so many things with her in mind. She was a wonderful, wonderful person. And she introduced me to Henry and talked him into coming on the program many, many years, going on close to 20 years now. So, what do you think about telling people, like I just did, in my opinion, I never speak for anyone else but me, I think it's time, if you have to go into a confined area with a lot of people now, given that the virus is essentially all over the place, if you want to wear a mask, it's probably time to start doing it. Agree, Henry, or disagree?
Yeah. Well, I think it's time to start avoiding a lot of people. That's essentially what's happening. It's getting very widespread now. A lot of the universities, they're basically closing down a week ahead of spring break.
Oh, yeah.
And they're telling their students to pack up. That essentially, go on spring break, but you're not coming back.
Don't come back. Harvard gave everybody 5 days to get out. 5 days.
After spring break, everything's online. And it's not just Harvard. It is nationwide. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, I've got a daughter in Cleveland, and it's, as soon as they got those first three cases, which was last week, they had one from APAC. And two from Nile Cruz, and they got three positives, and they closed down Case Western Reserve. They said, you know, spring break starts next week.
Mm-hmm.
We're not reopening. That after mm-hmm. spring break, we're going to be online, and you know, that's happening on the West Coast a lot, and it's happening on the East too now. It's happening all over because it's crazy because they know that, you know, some of these kids are going to go wherever over spring break. And they know what happened with the swine flu, that, you know, people went down to Mexico. They got infected. They came back and brought the virus with them. And you know, with the swine flu, they kind of tolerated it. You know, they didn't close schools by and large. They closed schools when the absentee rate got so high that they didn't have enough teachers to keep the schools open. So when the 10% or so were absent, they basically shut down schools then. But they generally kept the schools open. With this virus, they're shutting, you know, one student gets sick and they close down the school. And frankly, they've been doing it. You know, I got a couple other kids in Eastern Pennsylvania, and they're closing down the schools for cleaning if a student was exposed. They don't even need a positive. They just mm-hmm. need mm-hmm. a student who was a contact of somebody that was confirmed, and they close it down. And they had a couple that I think were more from APAC, to tell you the truth. They had somebody that they said went to a gathering. They said they went to a gathering out of state, and there were two people that were confirmed at the gathering, yeah. And that mm-hmm. that's pretty much the description of what APAC was. And so I think
only 18,000 people for 5 days crammed together. That's right, all. It's just a gathering.
Right.
No problem.
So I think these were two more examples. I mean, I know for sure there are three that I know of in North America. There was the one in Cleveland, there's one in LA, mm-hmm. and there's one in Toronto.
But you know, Henry,
these two are in Bucks County, which is, you know, the Philadelphia area. And I'm yeah. pretty sure they were two more. Go ahead.
Our president tonight went on nationwide TV and told us, among other things, that no nation on earth is more prepared than this country to deal with this problem. I felt an immediate rush of serenity and security when I heard that.
Play the tape. I mean, they asked him, it was either yesterday or Monday, are you going, because you know, the recommendation was to avoid crowds. And they said, well, are you still going to be doing
you bet.
Campaign
Catholics
rallies?
For Trump.
And he said, we do the best rallies. You know, we're not going to cut back on that at all. You know, this was either yesterday or Monday. It was this week.
That's
for
right.
sure.
That's
and
right.
Then today, you know, after the bomb that he dropped with his speech, then they came out and said, well, he's going to cut back on his campaign rallies, you know, so after the fact. And you know, the whole idea, you know, I still can't get over the travel ban, because the travel ban is after
it's ludicrous.
Designated a pandemic.
It's completely ludicrous.
And pandemic means the virus is everywhere. And you can just look at the maps. I mean, that's why I said yesterday, it doesn't make any sense to call it an epidemic. Because if you look, there are over 100 countries that have reported positive cases. And, you know, it doesn't matter with these definitions. Oh, well, it's not local travel, because this person just flew in and we know where they are and da 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 da. Well, they don't know where most of the people are, because you can look at the ones in the U.S. now, and they keep on saying, well, it was a travel case, but it wasn't out of the country. It was out of the state, and they came from state A, B, and C. And if they right. came from state A, B, and C, they got infected by somebody that the CDC didn't know about, because they wouldn't have let the contact go and fly to some other state. They would have said, you're quarantined and you can't be flying around. So every time they go and they say they came from out of state, but it wasn't out of the country, they're basically defining a state that has local transmission. And that it's the same thing. If they've got a virus that's more transmissible than flu is, and they know that they've got positives in their state or for pandemic in the country, and there are over 100 countries that have lab-confirmed cases, and they're in multiple countries in South America and multiple countries in Africa, and they're certainly already local transmission identified in Australia and throughout Asia and throughout right. North America. That's a pandemic. That's what a pandemic is the virus has spread out across the world and is transmitting across the world. And it's been doing this for quite some time now, but the numbers keep on going up. So now the number of countries is like every country in the European Union, and it's over 100 countries in the world. And so they've got every continent except Antarctica, maybe, and has confirmed cases, and most of them have confirmed local transmission. They've got cases that they have no idea how they got infected, and they didn't travel. And there's somebody in the area was infected, and CDC has no idea, or WHO, you know, in other countries, they have no idea how this person got infected, but they know that they got infected, you know, somewhere locally, and that's because the virus is transmitting locally. So, I mean, it is a pandemic, and it is everywhere, and you're not going to do much of anything by putting a nope. travel ban, especially when half of the countries that you're banning have far less activity than you have. And the only reason the U.S. is low is because they don't test. It's not because
we're still
low on
that. We've
virus.
Tested maybe 6,000 now.
It's low on confirmed tests.
The more they yeah. test, the more they find out. There's a 38% increase in infection in this country yesterday, only because they're testing.
Right.
No, that was a
right.
dramatic. See, he had to have a hammer that he could flash around there. This is our big move. We're going to accept it. He knows, his staff knows that it's all over the country already. They know this is going to accomplish nothing.
Well, the staff knows. I don't know what he knows. he thinks he can take a flu vaccine and use that to protect against the coronavirus. So, you know, any assumption on what he knows, I think, is being very generous.
Well, watch the Tom Hanks and his wife Rita story. He was in Australia to make a movie about the life of Elvis Presley, I read somewhere. So I'm not sure if he was going to play Elvis or not, but at any rate, they're in Australia, and they won't be coming home for a while. We'll see how long they're infected.
And we'll see pretty soon what's going on with the round two of the Grand Princess, because they're basically distributing the passengers, and we'll soon be testing and get an idea on exactly how many are positive there. So they're going to be scattered throughout the U.S., but at least they'll be, you know, under control and quarantined, in contrast to round one of the Grand Princess, where they've, you know, basically gone worldwide, and they all have this virus that says made in the USA on it. So anybody that checks out the sequence, they'll know that they that that's an export from the US. No charge. Free virus are given out. We're anybody that'll allow a passenger to land, they get the virus, no extra charge. So, in any event, today was kind of, I think, the big day where, at least in the U.S., I think the population is realizing that they're going to have to make some changes, and that the crowds are definitely a concern, and more companies are going to do telecommuting and urge their employees not to come to work. And schools are going to be, closing, not because they've got a student who's had a contact with a case, but they're going to be closing because they've got a student that's infected. And there's X number of students in the school that need to be tested and potentially be quarantined, and they're not going to keep those individual schools open. So the school closings will start ramping up. Sports venues will be, the games will be played to empty seats. And it's going to have an effect. And the stock market's not going to do well, and the economy's not going to do well, and it's not just the U.S. economy.
There's a very good chance, Henry, that the country will never be the same again after this. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying there's a good chance that may happen. The damage may be too systemic, too severe, and things will be reconstructed in an entirely different format than they have been. Don't be surprised. We'll go to digital money. Currency will be termed a disease transmission vector. The U.S. mail may end up going all digital as well. Digital currency, digital mail. Voting will be probably internet optional. Digital voting, U.S. mail voting for sure. There won't be the, and I was the, I, maybe, who knows, but I was probably the first person on radio or TV to say there would not be conventions in July and August. It's not going to happen. I think things are going to change. And I think in some ways this virus may have been a convenience for those who would like to see things change in a wholesale fashion, never to return to the way they were. Because it's going to go that way. Digital currency, digital voting, digital teaching, digital education. Think about it. It's all changing.
Well, I mean, there'll certainly be widespread uses of those approaches, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that becoming more and more common. Especially if there's round two on this virus. You know, if this virus kind of fades over the summer and comes back.
How can there not be a round two, Henry? There has to be. It's almost a certainty. It's a virtual certainty. This is the way they work.
Well, in view of how widespread it is now, in view of how many people are infected, it is hard to imagine just miraculously, quote unquote, disappearing.
Yeah. There's no kill switch on the virus that we know about, and Henry's looked at the genetics. If there was a kill switch there, he would have seen it. Right?
Well, it's just the opposite. It's an on switch. It's a live switch. That polybasic cleavage site. pretty ensures that it's going to hang around and it's not just going to, you know, fade away because, you know, the population's got a certain amount of immunity. Now it's possible with antivirals and stuff, it'll be more like HIV, that there'll be a treatment for it and
maintenance.
It'll be fairly effective type of a treatment. But and that's probable over, you know, a year or two. I don't know for sure about the vaccine. The vaccine still this antibody enhanced infections is definitely a concern. The vaccine's not a slam dunk, but I think the antivirals will, there'll be a combination, might be a cocktail like it is with HIV, but, these viruses, you know, they kind of all have, similarities in lifestyles and vulnerabilities, and right. So treatment, I think, will move forward and, it'll be relatively effective.
A lot of difficult days ahead for most all of us, and I hope you keep listening. I think this is the best coverage you're going to find anywhere with Dr. Nyman, and we are doing our best to keep it all updated on the site for you. So thank you, Henry, as always. Talk to you tomorrow night. Stay safe.
Okay, very good. Okay, take care.
Night. All right, there we go. That's our update for you tonight, and back tomorrow night with more of the same, and then some. It's really exploding. Don't be afraid to wear your masks out there. It'll give you some protection. Don't believe anybody who says they're useless. It's not true. Okay, back tomorrow. Take care.